Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettie along with Herb Tiley. We're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 right. Perkins Road. Acme will open up at around 11 o'clock, and so come on down. They got some great food and drink specials. And so when you get that last sip of coffee that you on right now, that last sip of whatever, if it's kind of the hair of the dog, if you've been up late,
that's right.
You come on down.
I'm looking for the first sip.
Like Herb said, the very first sip. So we want to thank Acme for opening up for us, and also we want to thank presenting sponsor, Map Construction, always great to us here. Herb, one of the things, LSU, Florida, and this is, man, at one time was such a hotly contested rivalry between the two teams. They didn't like each other. They hated one another. I mean, that was a real hate between the two teams. But at this stage, man, Florida, they're just trying to survive at this stage. And LSU is not technically out, but hanging in there. This got to be a get-right game for LSU.
Well, first of all, with Florida, they are – kind of reeling within themselves and trying to figure out where it all went wrong, right? Where did the train get off the track? So they're not really as talented as they once was on a year-to-year basis. They have some talent there. They've had a couple guys that's left over the past couple of years to go to other programs and that they see success at. And so now you have a coach who was just recently rewarded, I guess, if you will, with a little bit extra time. But we're going to see how that actually works and what that's going
to
look like.
I got to see it to believe it.
That's right, exactly.
You got that dreaded vote of confidence.
We heard that, right? Exactly. So but we don't know. But they're not playing well. I mean, they got a gauntlet of a schedule in front of them. And then you start talking about LSU today, you know, what they came off of last week. You got to feel like LSU is going to be upset, angry, mad, anything you can think of as they go into Ben Griffin Field today and try to see exactly how they're going to bounce back from last week. And it's going to be a fun game to watch for me because I always just like seeing the two colors clash against each other. It's going to be at 2:30, so it's going to be bright and sunshiny day. So it's going to be fun for me. But, you know, you got two teams right now that are licking some wounds. And I'm not quite sure who has the confidence right now. Because I do think that Florida has a good enough team to beat anybody. They just don't ever come together as one. And then I think LSU has the same. They got a good enough team to beat everybody, but what team is going to show up right now? Now, we went through a stretch as far as LSU of a five-game stretch where they looked really good. You know, they were up and down, but they finished games really strong. But then you run into Texas A&M, and then you run into Alabama, and you see the bad side of what LSU truly is, or the lesser side, let's call it that. And so we're going to see if you know, Nussmeier can come back and play a clean football game, still have the confidence that we know and love in Nuss, and then let's see if we can establish a run game. I mean, it's going to be – if we don't ever establish a run game, we're not going to be successful this year.
Well, I agree with that, and you should be angry on how they played against Alabama. That was just such a poor performance. One of the things, and I talked to Coach O about this, what's your memories of Florida? He said, talent-wise, speed at receiver.
That's right.
And he said, man, they had some defensive guys that could run, and they were physical. I think a big part of why they're not successful today, and I did this over the last 11 years, LSU Alabama has produced the most players on an annual game basis. They have 179. Ohio State, Michigan is 154, so they're in the two spot. Alabama, Auburn's in the three spot for 147. Florida, LSU, 141.
Mm-hmm.
So that goes to show you, man, over the last 11 years, 141 guys that have played in this
game. Yep.
Have went on to get drafted in the NFL. But here's where you hit a dry hole. Last year, how many players did Florida get picked in the draft? One.
Mm.
Ricky Pearsall.
Yep.
The wide receiver who the 49ers picked. They had six the year before, which is pretty solid. But the year before that, they had three. You think about it.
No, that's not going to get it.
Man.
That's not going to get it.
You look at LSU, they had 10, 6, 6. So
that's right.
That goes to show you the talent pool for them has dried up, and Billy hasn't been able to put that back on good footing. When you look at the amount of talent that they have now, I know in this year's draft class, LSU's probably got another six guys that'll get picked.
That's right.
For Florida,
mm-hmm.
They got one defensive player, and that's Cam Jackson.
Yep.
Cam, I know pretty well. He went to Hainesville High School in Louisiana.
Yep.
Man, Hainesville. Man, you're almost in Arkansas.
That's right.
When you're in Hainesville.
Yeah.
Man, it's cowboy country there. And he started at Memphis, and then he transferred to University of Florida, and they have an Australian punter. Crosshaw.
Yeah.
He's the other one.
Yeah.
Hey, think about it. Man, two players, one on defense and your punter.
Yeah, exactly.
So he
never plays.
I can answer the question that their recruiting has not been very good. When you only got one guy of your starting 22 that's going to get picked, now maybe one of the junior offensive linemen will declare early. That's not much. And so, Billy hasn't been able to kind of put extra water back in the jug.
No, and you will not survive and you will not be successful in the SEC if you don't have talent, period. We all know this. And at the end of the day, these guys, we're so used to seeing Florida, the Florida Gators have at least 6, 7, 8, maybe 10 guys that go in the draft. But not just that, even the guys that don't go in the draft that play at a high level that are really, really competitive. You don't see that anymore. The last three years, I haven't seen it.
Well, who dropped the ball there? Dan Mullen.
Dan Mullen, that's what I was going
to
say.
He didn't want to recruit. I mean, he just wanted to be coach. Come on, in Florida, and you can't get top players?
Well, he didn't want to. That's the thing. You have to strive to want to be great. And if you're not doing that, what do you be? You'll be mediocre all the time. So at the end of the day, though, it's up to Billy to change that. And I think that Billy has gotten –
good luck.
He's got some really great coaches on his staff. It's just he's not been successful in bringing in the talent pool. Now, another reason for that could be the NIL stuff. Maybe Florida doesn't have a really good NIL package or what they're trying to do to compete with other schools in that world. But at the end, you know, they've got to figure out how to be able to get these top-notch Florida players in there, some players from Georgia, a couple of players from Alabama, some players from Louisiana, if they can lure them. That's what they were living by all those years, I think. And so at the end of the day, it's going to be one of those things where, Billy, you got to either you got to do it or you got to go. Because the seat is on fire right now. It's got to be the vote of confidence going into next year is one thing. Now, the reality is if you lose out this year, you may not be there.
Because I look at it, you play LSU today. Next week you play Ole Miss.
That's a loss.
And then if you lose to Florida State, he might have a lot more troubles than he's looking for.
There's only one team that's doing worse than Florida, and that's Florida State. Now, there's only one team that you can't lose to, and that's Florida State. There is another team, though, also, that if you lose to, you might lose it all. So
he might lose his job.
Yes.
Because that, to me, may be the death nail. If you would lose the last three, but especially lose to Florida State, you might survive losing to LSU and Ole Miss, but I don't know about surviving if you lose to Florida State. And they got a freshman quarterback, DJ Lagway, I saw him when he was in high school in Texas.
Yep.
He was Mr. Texas, the Gatorade Player of the Year in Texas.
Yep.
He was one of the top five recruits in the country last year. He wasn't expected to play this much, but when Graham Mertz went down with the injury, DJ, you got it. He's had some injuries, got the hamstring injury. He's expected to play today. He's really a pocket passer when you watch him. Every once in a while, he'll take off and run. And if I was him, I'd say, man, look what Reed and Milroe did. I got some lanes here.
I'm ready to run today.
But he is really, when you kind of break down the tape with him, he likes to stay in the pocket.
He does.
And what he likes to do, Herb, he's not great throwing the short intermediate. What he wants to do, he wants to hit the big deep pass. Mm-hmm. That's his forte, to try to, what I always say, open the envelope downfield.
That's right.
He wants to hit that deep pass.
Well, that's what he did when he was in high school, and he loved that. He likes explosive plays. He's a guy that is an explosive play waiting to happen. And I really, truly like the kid. I was surprised when he decided to go to Florida.
Me too.
I didn't think that he would make that pick, but he did. So right as we were talking about, you know, being able to recruit and get the right guys in, well, that's one recruit that's the right guy, and that's a top-notch recruit. But what do you have around him is the question. He's a true freshman, basically. We're trying to get him up to speed. You have no one around him to be able to make him successful, which is difficult. But he does raise the level of play of people around him.
He sure
and we've
does.
Shown that. He's shown that earlier in the season. So if he can stay healthy, which is it's with a hamstring, that's going to be difficult. I will say that. He can be really special. Now, that could be the, I guess, the start of a nucleus of getting some decent players in at Florida so that they can try to start building that program up again as the days and times move forward. So we'll see.
When you look at their starting offensive line, they've got three juniors, a sophomore, and a freshman. That's what's protecting me.
Yeah.
If I'm DJ. And the freshman, he may be the best player of the bunch, to be honest with you.
Right.
But, man, you know, the talent pool isn't there. They lose Etienne, who was a really good back. They lose him to Georgia.
He was a really great back. Now, here's the thing. That's one of the things that I'm thinking is, what is Florida's identity on offense? And I think since Billy's been there, we haven't seen it. Like, you know, when Billy was at UL, I think that his forte was running
the ball.
Yes,
and multiple backs.
That's right. He wanted to run the football all the time. But now I think he still wants to do that. But it's hard to run the football in the SEC when everybody else is throwing the ball all around the yard, you know, and you're playing from behind all the time. So you have to be able to adapt into the situation that you're in. And so I think with Legway, that would give him the opportunity to do that. But you know, Graham Mertz, when he started the season, I was never a Graham Mertz fan. I just didn't think that he had it. And so, you know, now you have Legway, who hopefully can stay healthy, but you have to put the pieces around him, starting with the offensive line, and you got to get him some wide receivers. Now, one thing that you said that was important was when you talked to Coach Owen, he talked about
speed the strengths at receiver.
The strengths of of Florida, speed at receiver was one. But the other was the defense. On defense, you have athletic, fast, big, strong guys. He doesn't have that anymore. He needs to figure out how to get those guys back on track and back in the building so they can be successful.